Joining us now is Colin Campbell, the Vice President and Director of Hockey Operations for the NHL. Thanks for being on, Coley.
Thanks, guys. I never thought you were going to get to me. I've been waiting here for 3 minutes listening to your little chit-chat there.
Oh, that, yeah, that's right, because you've never put some of us on hold in your life, right?
Just maybe you, John, when we worked together for a little bit.
There
but that's because I knew you wanted something from television that would screw up the game.
And television's never looked better than it has this year, Coley. So.
That's because the hockey game's good.
It is. The hockey game is great. By the way, you have to be happy the way your video
reviews. I wish the guy from CBC would have talked more about hockey than other things the other night, too, but he didn't want to talk about the hockey game.
Oh.
That's a topic for another day, right?
Another day, another channel, another time, you know.
Right.
You have to be happy, though, the way your video review system worked in Game 3?
Well, it as you know, we're only as good as what we're given by television, and the technical aspect of television has come a long way, and I guess that's a real larger question, bigger question in sports now, particularly what happened in Detroit, the baseball game, I think, as you know, John, you've been at the cutting edge and in TV for a long time, and I guess the question begged right now with high def and slow motion and different angles that the fans see it, and you usually don't get a reaction from the team's coaches or even players until they see it. And then they say, well, why'd you get it wrong? Well, none of those people saw it the way the referee saw it the first time.
Right.
That's the only time the referees get to see it, or the umpires or whoever. So, and we've been kind of, you can say we went over on the cutting edge, but our managers and or teams and owners have been good that we've asked them questions along the way. Should we use this and should we do that and how far should we go? We have questions. Should we review if the puck hits the net? And we asked that question in our March meeting, and our manager said, no, when do we stop? And we ask a question even from hockey ops, can we review the high stick 4 minute penalty where a player gets cut and the other player gets 4 minutes? Because we've had situations where the wrong stick, the wrong player has been called, and that's a pretty tough penalty to take 4 minutes. And, or can you apply that penalty or that video review just during the playoffs when things really count? And then the question was asked or begged, well, does it account for Columbus maybe if it's game 81 or the New York Rangers or Philly when it might mean getting in the playoffs or not? That's a big game for them too. So video, and you were with us for a couple of years, John, and you saw it too, and you sat in there with us. They're not easy lots of times. And even that controversial one on Sedin, we actually pulled two other kicks up on our files right away to compare them and look at them from other games and say, well, how was that one? What did we do with that one? I know we took about 5.5 or 6 minutes there, but we're trying to get it right and trying to stay consistent. So, and fortunately we had a good view of from the overhead camera on just that one. But if we had to live with the 6 or 7 of the other views we got, John, we couldn't determine that puck was in the other night.
With Colin Campbell, Senior Vice President, Director of Hockey Operations with the NHL. The other thing that stuck out on the Scott Hartnell goal the other night, and like you mentioned, Coley, it was close. One angle, it looked like, okay, that's in. They showed the next angle, and okay, that's not in. But they showed it on the Jumbotron in the rink before the official ruling had been made. And now you have 20,000 biased fans cheering a certain way. Is there an issue with them showing it on the Jumbotron, or is that fine?
Oh yeah, and John, you had asked me, I didn't get back to you because I thought there was this rule has changed over the last few years, and we give it to the presidents, the team presidents, to control the Jumbotrons because they were complaining about each other how they used it a couple of years ago. In fact, I had a team president chase me up a ramp outside the arena after a game. They felt the one arena was abusing the video replay.
Well, you can't tell it, but I mean, it was Philadelphia, and that's why Philadelphia
right.
abuses every rule in the book. And you didn't say that. I did.
Right. So anyways, we said to the team presidents, you guys develop a rule. And I thought they, according to some of our people, I thought they showed the wrong view. I think they weren't. Our guys thought they weren't supposed to show a slow motion of it, John. But we went to our our individual controls that, and he said they stayed within the rules. But as you know, Philadelphia presses those rules, and we really don't care during the season. You know, puts a little bit of pressure on the referees, but it doesn't affect us when we're in the video room in Toronto. We're making that decision, and the other night, you know, you get going on that in your room looking at pictures, and I didn't even hear the people what they were saying. We're so intent on watching and doing what we did. Unless someone attacks us in the video booth, then it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
But
actually, the
it's something we have to revisit. That's for sure, because I don't like it, but the presidents agreed to that.
Yeah. Well, as I recall, the two philosophies were: why hold the paying customer hostage when the guy at home can see it? And the other one was that you're not really supposed to show the NHL camera, which is the overhead camera. So if you show regular television angles, you're okay. That's really what's supposed to happen.
And that's what we thought was, but I think it's changed since then, John. And the other thing that and we talked about this, and you know this, like there's a number of televisions available in the building other than the big screen. And also with these iPads and everything else, coming, you know, we had that discussion a week ago with a meeting I was in where you're going to get people watching the game sitting in their seat on their own iPads, et cetera. So,
exactly.
It's when do you, how many people are you denying that view to, you know? So
that's a problem. So what did you, other than the trying to get a little more formatted rule for the blindside hit rule, what came out of the general manager's meeting?
Say again, I'm sorry, John.
No, I just wonder what came, anything else that other than trying to formalize the actual wording in the rule for hits to the head, anything else that of note that might have an opportunity to get through coming out of the manager's meeting?
No, we discussed a number of things. You know, a lot of things is, you know, it's sometimes like Groundhog Day. Some guys keep pushing their...
No touch icing.
Actually, that did not surface this last meeting. We might try some things that we're doing a research and development camp, just, you know, a short one in Toronto in August, just to try some rules. You know, we're a little, you know, guys are a little frustrated how face-offs are handled, and when you kick a player out and then the second one is supposed to bring a penalty if he cheats, and you never want a penalty, so you don't see a penalty very often, if ever, for the second player cheating. They just get the puck down. Can we do that better? Is there another way to do it? You know, we talked to Joe Neuendijk, who's the general manager now, who's taken 1,000 face-offs a year in his life, you know, how many face-offs, and he had some interesting thoughts on that. Paul Holmgren suggested that we allow a goaltender to be warmed up in the playoffs when there's a significant and obvious injury like happened to them. But then again, you know, that rule was brought in because I think it was a Mike Keenan rule. You know, he kept changing goalies and going for timeouts. So we beat that around the bush. We almost pursued that. Then we said, no, that just happens once, and the coaches are going to find a way to, you know, have your goaltender with, for example, say 1 minute left. You've already used up your timeout. He's going to take the goalie out of the game with an injury and use a timeout because it's the end of the game, and I can go on forever, but that one didn't pass. So we talked about a number of things, but there's a lot of housekeeping, but the most significant one was at least addressing the fact that they thought a 5 minute should be called by the referees in the game, and then that's going to take some work too for the head hit. And it would come with the game misconduct. But that's going to take some work, John, as you know, because we have to really identify it, explain it to the referees, and explain it to the players. And you want to be sure when you call it. So it might be missed unless it's a sure call. So hopefully, once we discuss that with the competition committee and see if it can get, you know, get by the competition committee, and then we take it to the board. But other than that, a lot of it was housekeeping, John.
Some general managers wanted to talk shootouts, maybe get more games decided in overtime rather than shootouts. Did that come up at the meetings?
Well, yeah, that's a Ken Holland Groundhog Day rule. You know, he brings it up, and he feels that particularly this year he felt that too many games were not decided in overtime and went to a shootout. And I think that's kind of one of those things that the hockey people don't like, but the marketing, the TV, and at the end of the day, maybe the fan likes the shootout. And so hockey people would rather some of the purists or traditionalists would rather see the game decided more in a hockey way, which would be an overtime, and some talked about extending the overtime from 5 to 8 minutes to try and get the games decided more in a hockey manner than going to the shootout. So we said we talk about that later in the summer and see where we're going, and myself personally, I'd rather see it decided, and instead of extending it the overtime, some talked about maybe 4 minutes of 4-on-4 and 4 minutes of 3-on-3. So that's another discussion for another day, but it had some legs.
In the March meeting, Scott Housen brought up this thing about giving more value and more attention to games that were won in overtime or run in regulation as opposed to games that were won by a shootout in the standings for tiebreakers. Does that have any chance of getting through? Because when you look at how Philadelphia got into the playoffs, that was a pretty important shootout, and it shouldn't be weighed any different than any win or loss.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, too, and by both you and Scott Housen, the fact that it's a bigger picture. The overtime, the shootout results, how games are won, and then the point standing. So I think that's a reminder to me now that was the other point discussed. If you're going to look at shootouts and how games are won, then you should also include how points are assessed in the standings, and should you go to a 3-point game being in every game. And so, that's something that would have to go to the board level, and that you'd have to take a lot of things into consideration. Then you almost go to standings and conferences and who gets in the playoffs, and you put more teams in. So where do you stop it? But it's a bigger picture. And I'm not so sure we shouldn't readdress that and do is it good? The playoffs are good now, but should we mix up the standings again? I really have an issue, and I shouldn't say this, I might get in trouble with my boss, but Columbus and Detroit, it's really pretty tough to make those guys play in the West when they got to play every game in another time zone except when they play each other. And you look at Detroit this year. They had to go to Phoenix, 3-hour time change, played them 7 games, and had to go to San Jose, same thing, a 3-hour time change. So I'm not so sure we shouldn't relook at the conference setups. If we're going to look at everything, we're going to look at the shootouts.
Now you're in trouble. You're in trouble now.
Yes, I am.
Because,
I'm in trouble.
And because everybody in Winnipeg says, well, if we take a team, we'll play in the West. So there you go. You're in trouble again. Nice going.
Coley, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, and you're following all the games. You'll be in arena for all games of the Stanley Cup Final?
Yes, I will.
Enjoy it. Colin Campbell, Senior Vice President and Director of Hockey Operations of the NHL.
Senior Executive Vice President.
Senior Executive Vice President.
Yeah.
The titles get longer and longer.
Instead of money.
See, I don't like that.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm sure Coley doesn't either.